and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. A mass shooting in Monterey, California. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
Police here are looking for a male of Asian descent between the ages of 30 and 50. L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna says investigators are following major leads.
We're going to use every resource available to us because we need to get this person off the street.
The sheriff says all the victims, those killed and those wounded, are likely of Asian descent.
Who walks into a dance hall and guns down 20 people?
Authorities are looking at a second incident at another dance hall a few miles away. An Asian man armed walked into that hall as well, but he was disarmed by people inside. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Monterey Park, California.
More documents marked classified have been found at President Biden's Delaware home after the FBI was invited to take another look. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin tells CNN there are big differences between this case and the one involving former President Trump.
It is outrageous that either occurred, but the reaction by the former president and the current president could not be in sharper contrast.
Fellow Democratic Senator Joe Manchin says he believes the documents case could hurt President Biden.
Well, the bottom line is he has a heck of a political hand that's not very, very good right now. He's not holding a lock, if you will. And he has 10 or 12 that's pretty much out there. Mm-hmm. He has to make a decision how he wants to govern.
Senator Manchin appeared on NBC's Meet the Press. Large crowds gathered today at Graceland to honor Lisa Marie Presley, who died January 12th of cardiac arrest.
And even in this time of pain, we are grateful for the beautiful gift that was Lisa Marie, her passion, her strength, her brilliance, and her tenaciousness.
Lisa Marie Presley was 54. Police in Atlanta, Georgia have arrested six people during what started out as a peaceful protest that quickly developed into something else entirely. Here's Police Chief Darren Shirebaum.
There are three businesses that received damages to their windows. The investigation is continuing to determine who we have under arrest that may cause that. And if there's someone that committed a criminal act that we currently do not have in custody, we're using all of our investigative resources to ensure we identify them and we bring them to justice.
Tax season begins tomorrow, and the IRS says tax refunds may be smaller this year. Why is that?
The reason is because we had a lot of pandemic-related tax breaks, rebates, stimulus checks to help people get through the pandemic. Those expired last year. So things like the expanded child tax credit are gone. I mean, there's still the child tax credit, but it's just a smaller amount.
CBS Money Watch's Amy Peachy. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Here's to Wisconsin winter traditions, celebrated year after year.
Hey, check this out.
To lighting up a frosty night with fireworks at Fish Creek Winterfest. Here's to cheering 8,000 skiers across the finish line at the American Birkebeiner in Hayward. And to snow sculpting magic at Winterfest in Lake Geneva. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with a high of 20. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 12. Tonight, cloudy skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. A few flurries possible at times. High temperatures reach up to 29. Upper 20s Tuesday and Wednesday with a chance for snow Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 17.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
I can see you in the morning when you go to school. Don't forget your books, you know you've got to learn the golden rule.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour, the noon hour. As always, and especially now, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. We are going to spend at least the first half of this hour, half hour, maybe the full hour, on some local news. We are sitting in downtown Waukesha at the WAUK, the Shaw Station. And last night, the Waukesha School Board voted unanimously. So that's 8-0
yep.
on a bill that it sounds like didn't have, it's unclear if their lawyer, if the school board's lawyers looked at this yet. It's apparent that it was only added to the agenda the end of last week to be voted on last night. But the school district of Waukesha Board of Education voted unanimously 8-0 to approve an amended version of a proposal titled Parental Rights and Transparency. The proposal touches upon gender identity, pronouns, transgender athletes, and bathrooms. And there was a large crowd that ended up, despite the
last minute
nature of this, it seems like there was enough organizing that happened from parents. It sounds like potentially on both sides of the issue that showed up last night. And one of the questions addressed in the proposal is how the district should handle a student who wants to use pronouns and names without their parents' knowledge. And we're waiting. Sarah Harrison, former candidate for state representative, former candidate for Waukesha School Board, is going to be joining us shortly. But I just thought, because it's public knowledge as far as what was in the actual resolution. And so I thought to start, until Sarah's able to get here, we just kind of talk through what's in there. So it says, a resolution to affirm the commitment of the school district of Waukesha Board of Education to the rights of parents to be informed of and to direct the education of their minor children. Whereas the school district of Waukesha Board of Education believes parents play the primary role as decision makers in the student's K-12 educational experience. Parents are their children's first teacher and remain teachers and role models throughout their child's educational journey. The relationship between student and classroom teacher should be positive and formative, but does not replace the relationship of a parent and child. The school day should focus on learning and individual development with opportunities for constructive play and intellectual curiosity and with appropriately challenging academic goals for every student. All students deserve to feel welcome at school, regardless of religious beliefs, race, ethnicity, or sexual orientation. No student shall be compelled to affirm through speech, writing, or action an opinion that violates their deeply held personal, religious, or moral beliefs. Minor students' questions of gender identity and sexuality are personal and private. Any involvement in these topics by school staff should be done with the full consent and collaboration of the parents. Consideration of controversial issues has a place in the instructional program of the district when related to the instructional goals of the course of study, and when introduced and conducted properly, the content is age appropriate and is without bias or intent to cause harm or disruption. Student physical safety at school is a district priority. Students and their parents have a right to privacy and information security. Licensed student services professionals play a critical role in creating positive school environments and strengthening family-school partnerships, which are essential for student well-being and academic growth. And finally, access to technology is necessary in a modern learning environment. District-issued student devices are an extension of instructional resources and should not create an unmitigated risk of introducing harmful or inappropriate content. So it goes on for a couple more pages, but that's everything on the first page. And joining us now is Sarah Harrison. Welcome back to the show. We had you in the fall ahead of the election, but do we have her mic on? Great. So if you just, just talk right into that. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So paint the picture of, I guess, the lead up of this, because I received multiple DMs, civic media got an email, kind of alerting that this was happening. And then it happened last night. So kind of let's just paint the picture of what happened before last night and the lead up to this.
Sure. Well, we first saw anything about this as a parent community. I have a child at School of Waukesha. And we first saw anything about this 5 days ago in the board meeting agenda notes.
So this was like Friday of last week or over the weekend?
Yeah, it would have been probably Friday, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is, and so anyone who's even noticing that this is happening is people who are reading the board's agenda notes. Okay.
Yeah. You got to be looking for it. Yeah. This resolution wasn't on any sort of committee agenda. It was spoken about apparently within a committee, but it wasn't on the agenda. So it's the whole thing's a little surprising to us as parents, which is ironic because it's supposed to be about transparency to the parents, and we didn't know they were talking about transparency. So late last week, we first became aware of it and started, talking back and forth about, well, what does this mean? And is this the same as some of the national things that we've seen? And it's absolutely a page out of the Parents' Bill of Rights that you saw from Josh Hawley, that you saw from our Wisconsin Republican Party a year ago. It's 100% the same content. It's really disappointing to me that this sort of was sprung on us in that way.
And so that was a lead up. And then it seems like there was enough alarms or awareness spread that a lot of people showed up to the meeting last night. And so how did the meeting go?
The meeting was interesting. I mean, Waukesha school board meetings are always interesting, but
you wanted to be part of it.
I did. It would have at least been a 7-1 vote. Dang it. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. It's encouraging to see young folks speaking up about what they and their peers are going through. And there were some parents there as well, myself included, who spoke with the board, who gave public comment. There were a few people who were also
I appreciate that you're trying to find the right words.
Yeah. I'm trying to be kind. The folks who were saying, yes, please do this thing, didn't have specific concerns. They didn't have...
they couldn't point to certain instances where this has happened and it's been a bad thing.
It was just, well, my kid is my kid and I should know everything that's going on in their lives. And gosh, I think most parents know you don't know everything that's going on in their lives. And it's been shown that students or kids, whatever, minors who have someone that they can trust who are in the LGBTQ community are much less likely to feel as ostracized, to attempt self-harm. LGBTQ kids are 4 times as likely to attempt suicide. And our school already took away the safe space signs. We already took away the pride flags. And now we're taking away the trusted adult that that student could talk to. I don't see how this benefits anyone. I personally have two kids who are in the LGBTQ community, and I'm very proud of them. And when they came to talk to me about how they were feeling and where they fit into this crazy world, it was a celebratory conversation. It was mm-hmm. like, hey, I think I figured this out, and here's where I fit. And, you know, hey, let's go have some brownies or something. I mean, and not every kid has yes. that. It's the kids that don't have that I worry about. I know that there were some students who wanted to attend the meeting, whose parents wouldn't allow them to attend the meeting. And those are probably exactly the kids that we need to help, right? I think it's a tenuous, slippery slope at best, and legally not very strong.
So that's a question that I have as far as, because this has developed so quickly, mm-hmm. have lawyers looked at this? Is this legal?
So they said that the board did state that they have had conversations with their legal advisors, and that the legal advisors had suggested that if a parent calls to ask, that they can share any information they have, including, names, pronouns, sexual preference. But that they shouldn't be calling parents and telling them this. And that's exactly what they're proposing to do, is to call the parents if it comes up at all.
So basically treating it, because I think teachers fall under that, teachers like therapists, where there is, right. when it comes to a minor, if there's abuse mm-hmm. of any sort, they have to, yes. they're required to...
Yes.
report it. Yep. So they're trying to treat coming out in some way or form almost like it's abuse, where they have to report.
Right. Well, and I think this is funny because one of the board members brought up, hey, do we know if this is legal? Have we talked to, our legal counsel? And the president of the board said, oh, we have. And I'm sorry, I'm not sure if it was the president who said we have. I believe it was actually the assistant superintendent who said, yes, we have. And XYZ, like I just explained. And so the proposed workaround for that was, okay, so every year we'll just ask parents if they want us to call them if something is going on. And I'm like, okay, you asking parents, do you want to know this, is not the same as a parent calling you mm-hmm. asking that. So I think there's a strong legal challenge there for what they're trying to do. And I think I don't find it to be very ethical that they passed the resolution knowing that it was not what their legal advice was from their counsel. Now, this is not a policy. I can't think
of the
word.
Is it a proposal?
Proposal. Thank you. You saved me. But it is what they want to base future policies on, and they want to have it in place like by March. So this is all happening very quickly.
Yeah. So we have to take our first break. When we come back, kind of talk about what does this even look like when you take it out of theory mm-hmm. and put it into application of what this looks like, what responsibility and extra work this puts on teachers. And yeah. I think there's so many more other implications, and the whole dress code thing, which feels like, did that also get passed last night?
Yes, but not quite in the way that it was.
Okay. We'll talk when we come back. All right. Stick with us. We're talking about the Waukesha School Board District meeting that happened last night. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You're coming along.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art supporting artists in their own words.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Rye. We are talking about the Waukesha Board of Education and the meeting that happened last night where they voted 8-0 to approve a proposal titled Parental Rights and Transparency, and how fast-tracked the whole situation was. And joining us to talk about it is Waukesha School District parent and also former candidate for Waukesha School Board and former candidate for state representative, Sarah Harrison. Thank you for coming back. And so this passed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a proposal. It's not the actual policy yet.
Right.
So what does the conversation become now as far as how this goes from theory to application?
Sure. That's a great question. I'm not sure how you make this. How do you make this practiced, practicable, practical for those teachers? So is it if a student comes to a teacher and specifically says, I want to be, please use they, them pronouns for me, or please use she, her, or he, him, whatever it may be. Is that the trigger, or is it that I'm a teacher and I'm in the lunchroom and I overhear that so-and-so who was biologically female is being called he, him? Well, now do I have to tell the parents? Am I now the gender police that has to get in touch with the parents? And it puts teachers in this middle ground that I guarantee they don't want to be in. Yeah. And I don't know how you do this and make it practical. I think essentially the aim is to just shut down anyone who wants to have that different name or use different pronouns than they historically have or than that are assigned to their biological sex. And it's very damaging to a trans kid to use their dead name. It's not a small thing to them. It's really harmful. And I wish that our board members would take a step outside of their bubble and understand what some of these kids are going through. It's not a friendly world to this group of kids already, and they're making it even worse.
And so, because that is the question, I mean, it also I come back to, is this the highest priority?
Yeah, I'm not sure why it should be.
Because didn't a lot of people run on, we should be focusing on education, we should be focusing on test scores, we should be focusing on achievement and graduation rates.
Yep.
And is there anything that they can point to as why this bolsters that goal?
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah. I don't think that anyone's going to pass a test better if they're closeted versus not. I think that's going to have the opposite effect for that group. And it really underestimates our students, too. It's saying, well, our kids can't handle this. We're going to protect them from this dangerous thing. And it's not dangerous. It doesn't hurt anyone for you to use their pronouns that they identify as. I don't understand how this hurts anyone. And we didn't hear any arguments about that. What we heard, excuse me, in terms of folks who support the resolution, it was just, I deserve to know everything about my kid. And I think that there are some times where if you are not a safe space for your own kid, maybe that's not, who needs to know?
Well, and that's the thing. About a month or so ago, we had completely different situation, but we had Natalie Eilbert, who wrote an article about how Wisconsin falls in this weird loophole where mm-hmm. some minors cannot get medical care without their parents' consent. And the number of minors who fall under, it's like 17,000 mm-hmm. unhoused people, minors who can't, if that, something happens to them and their parents aren't there or don't sign off on medical care, they can't get medical care. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that everyone lives in a house like I grew up in,
right,
which I was incredibly lucky. I had unbelievably supportive parents. I am still so close to them today. Mm-hmm. And had I come out, I'm sure there would have been some questions because it was the 90s and the early 2000s. But, you know, they would have been supportive. But mm-hmm. so many people do not have that kind of support system at home.
Yeah.
And a lot of them find it at school sometimes.
Yes.
And this is taking that away.
Absolutely. It that is the one safe space that is left for some students. And my oldest, my 18-year-old, actually spoke at the meeting last night, too. And that was kind of their point, was you have already made this an uncomfortable environment, and now you're taking away that last bit where there might have been a trusted adult that someone could go to, and now they can't for fear of being outed. People should be able to choose who they are out to and at what pace. And this completely cuts that off for them.
And I think too, Sarah, this is not just happening here in Waukesha. There is a concerted effort around the country. Yes. And from what I understand, it is a religiously based group that is pushing these things.
Yeah, so groups like, I know Moms for Liberty, and here in Wisconsin, the group Will have definitely...
The law firm?
my
favorite law firm in Wisconsin?
Yeah, they're great. They have definitely pushed these things, and the Republican Party, too. I mean, it's a political thing, and it is a lot of things that are religious-based, and we're supposed to have a separation here between, you know, your religion and public schools. If you want to go to a religious school, you can go to a religious school. But this is not supposed to be part of how we form our policies in public schools.
All right. Well, we're going to keep this conversation going. Sarah's going to stay here. If you have thoughts or comments or questions about the situation, both either in your own school district or the Waukesha School District, 844-967-2789. We will take your calls and texts when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Parents make a lot of promises to their kids. We promise to be there every step of the way, especially on those wobbly first steps. We promise to always keep them safe. I mean, nothing's more important to us than that. And now, all kids 6 months and older can get a COVID vaccine. So we've got another way to keep that promise.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes. From loss of hope to hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with a high of 20. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 12. Tonight, cloudy skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. A few flurries possible at times. High temperatures reach up to 29. Upper 20s Tuesday and Wednesday with a chance for snow Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 17.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Thank you for joining us on your lunch hour. We are here with Sarah Harrison, a parent, in the Waukesha School District, former candidate for the Waukesha School Board, former candidate for state representative. And we were talking about the school board meeting in Waukesha that happened last night where they voted 8-0 on a proposal titled Parental Rights and Transparency that largely had to do with gender identity, pronouns, transgender athletes, bathrooms. And Jane, you said that we had a caller?
Dave from the Shaw is on the line. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Sarah. Sarah's a friend of mine. I'm a parent here in Waukesha, and I'm also a school board junkie. I watch the meetings. I keep up with what's happening, and I watched last night, and I think something stuck out to me. I heard one board member talk about she owns her kids, and that's not the first time she's used that language before. I heard another board member talk about controlling their kids, and I think those kinds of comments are microcosms of the bigger issues that we're facing in Waukesha. And it's based around the perceived needs of parents instead of focusing on who needs to be most important, which is obviously the students. And I think because the board rushed this resolution and they didn't take community input, it seems to me it's really focused on the needs of just a handful of parents as opposed to maybe taking the pulse of the entire community. And I think it these actions from the board in the last year and a half, from removal of the safe space signage and rainbow flags to this parent's bill of rights, and even you guys mentioned the dress code changes. And what was originally proposed as going back to business casual with no T-shirts, that was changed to a change in non-political or controversial clothing, something that even is like goofy as a lanyard. I think this it reiterates a bias against the LGBTQIA community, and like Sarah brought up before, I think there's some real terrible outcomes when you do all of these things that seem biased against one group of kids. And anyway, I appreciate you guys taking my call and continuing this conversation, because I think it's for the good of students in some ways, like for the good of like their life. And we just need to keep pushing.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for the call, Dave. And that's it, because you said there were students who spoke last night.
Yes.
Were any of those students for the resolution?
No.
Got it.
No. There were two recent graduates who spoke, and then there were at least two current students, and all of them were in support of, I'm sorry, all of them were against the resolution.
Because I would say in the many videos nationwide that have gone viral of school boards and how interesting they've gotten over the last couple of years, of the young people who testify, I don't know if testify, can speak.
Sure.
I don't know if I've seen any of them who are saying, I you know, more conservative, I feel threatened, I feel manipulated, I feel groomed, as that buzzword. Yeah. And granted, I can't watch every school board meeting in the country.
You
but
don't
I,
want
I
to.
Just, I know. But you know what I mean? And so it is interesting, as Dave was saying, as far as this being about the students. And who are the ones who are complaining, feeling they feel threatened at school because of safe spaces, because there is inclusionary topics or shows or whatever. And so it's like the comfort of the parents seemingly being prioritized over any student who's even coming forward saying, this makes me uncomfortable. Like, this rainbow flag makes me uncomfortable.
Right.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist.
Sure.
It just doesn't seem like those are the young people who are saying, this is why this affects me.
Right, right. I don't know anyone who suddenly turned queer because their teacher had a rainbow lanyard. I've yet to hear that story. If it's out there, that would be really interesting, but I don't think that's happening. And I think you're right. You're right. It's a knee-jerk reaction by parents. It's something that has been put into the national spotlight by politicians on the Republican side. it is not something that is an organic issue that we're hearing about in Waukesha. It may be that there are some issues that are happening here, there. I don't know. I can't possibly know that. But it's not coming from a groundswell of people really are feeling put out by the non-existent, people can't even wear that stuff now anyway, but it's not to protect those students from what I'm seeing. It's a parental reaction, and they want to have control.
Yeah.
We have a texter from the 608. Coming from a student in the Waukesha School District, I'm beyond disgusted with the decision that has been unanimously made by the school board. In no way does this have anything to do with education. This is a way for the board to have more control over these children's lives. I'm convinced they're scared of not having that stronghold. We're kids. We're changing, growing up, discovering ourselves, and they're scared of us. They don't want us to have separate beliefs. They want the children in the schools to conform. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think what Dave said as far as the language, because words matter, right?
Yes.
I own my kids. And it said, yeah. I brought you into this world. I'll take you out of it. That kind of mentality of good luck with your long-term relationship with your kid.
You know, it's funny. That's exactly what my kids said to me is, well, in 20 years, they're not going to have a relationship. And that board member said the word own multiple times. This was not a slip up. This is how she refers to her children, I guess. I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole of owning humans. It's not a thing. This is for the comfort of the adults in the room.
Yeah. We're talking to Sarah Harrison about the Waukesha School Board vote that happened last night on the parental rights and transparency proposal. And it's interesting. I saw one of the best analogies, and it was a teacher. This is on TikTok. Mm-hmm. I love that. Like that, I just have to admit it that this is on TikTok, and it was someone who was a teacher.
Yeah,
and she was they were a high school teacher, and they present very androgynously. They have short hair, really funky clothing, and they were giving the analogy that, in addition to being non-binary, they are a vegetarian.
Okay,
and they were saying how I don't push. You know, my kids ask me about being a vegetarian. Right. They asked me where I eat. Mm-hmm. What do I eat for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't, it's not like I've convinced any of them to become a vegetarian. I'm not trying to become. She's like, but I will say this.
Yeah.
I had a student who was interested in becoming a pescatarian, and mm-hmm. they felt very comfortable asking me questions about it.
Yeah.
And it was such a great, they did it better than I did, but it was such a great, it's just the identities or the place that teachers have.
Mm-hmm.
To think that if you as a parent can't control your own kid, why do you think a teacher's going to be able to control their kid?
And what, yeah, exactly. And aren't you supposed to be trying to develop your kid to make good choices and to be their own person? I mean, that has always been my goal as a parent, is not to control my kids. Maybe when they're like 3 years old and throwing a fit, maybe there's a little bit of, all right, well, we got to try to control this. But, you know, your ultimate goal shouldn't be to control them, because then what happens when they leave the house? How do they function as a fully formed human if you don't ever let them be themselves?
And so Jane, do you have something?
Don't you think, though, I think sometimes people have children with the goal of having mini-me's.
Yeah.
They're going to look like me. They're going to act like me. They're going to think the same way I do about everything. And when that doesn't happen, I think some people are really shocked.
Yeah. I mean, if I had an Alex P. Keaton, I might have a different point of view, right? My kids are pretty similar to me. All joking aside, I mean, I have folks that I'm close to that are different than me. We're not all, you know, it's not a vanilla, exactly the same type of community.
Homogenous,
that's a better way to say it. I have folks in my family who have various political views, and we can get along and we can talk about those things. We don't have to all agree on everything.
Yeah. And so going back to a little bit more of what ended up happening with the dress code, because
mm-hmm.
there's separate but kind of under the same thing, because the original email that got forwarded to me about
staff and dress grooming, saying, as such, we require staff to dress in a professional manner that can be described as business casual, which does not include any of the following: T-shirts, jeans, sweatpants, sweatshirts, athletic shorts, tight or ill-fitting clothing, clothing that shows excessive skin, tennis shoes, beach sandals, flip-flops, my husband would be out, and baseball caps or other hats. And I get, I mean, to a certain extent, some of that I get because it's your job. But the points that I was seeing as like, what are the phi ed teachers going to wear?
Yes.
What are special ed teachers going to wear? So how is that what got passed, or what was, what did the conversation end up being about how teachers can dress?
So the list basically went away, which was really odd because, that was at the HR meeting, which was right before. And then they spoke about it also at the general meeting. Myself and a kindergarten teacher, first grade teacher, both spoke at the HR meeting saying, if I'm a special ed teacher, if I'm a kindergarten teacher sitting on the floor, crisscross applesauce, how am I supposed to wear a dress or,
jeans or yoga pants?
Or something. Yeah, right? Like that doesn't make any sense. And
also, just quickly, business casual clothes are not cheap.
No.
And teachers do not make a lot of money. So thing is like, you have to have this wardrobe to look appropriate at school, but we're not going to give you any money to go get that wardrobe. But anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
What cracks me up is that a lot of this stuff that they have listed actually in most business casual environments would be acceptable.
I'm wearing a t-shirt right now. This is like the most dressed up I've been all week.
Me too. I got jeans on. I'm a manager. I run a team of 12 people, and I still can be a professional when I'm wearing my jeans. It's amazing that doesn't change my personality. Sorry, a little sassy there. But what they ended up saying was basically anything with messaging was out. And then they were very adamant about any type of accessory, such as a lanyard or a mask, must be a single color. And all the only reason for them to say that is that they don't want rainbows. They don't want things like, trans flag colors or anything like that. And how has any student's education ever been impacted by the color or colors of their teacher's lanyard? This is what we're spending our time on.
Mm-hmm.
This is a manufactured outrage baloney, in my view.
So in the couple minutes we have left, this passed.
Mm-hmm.
It's now moving forward in what the application of it will look like.
Yep.
Is there anything people can do?
Yeah.
As far as, because it seems like something where people showed up at the meeting to make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
The comment was not, I mean, I don't know what the balance was between both sides, but as far as the people who hold the power are continuing to move forward. And so is it just a more and more awareness for the next school board election? What would you give as far as whether it's Waukesha specifically or I guess more generally across the state?
So unfortunately, in the next school board election, we have four candidates and only one of them would have voted differently. And that's Diane Voigt, and she's amazing, and I fully endorse her, and you should support her.
And that's for this upcoming election?
That's for this upcoming election in April. I personally plan to continue making a lot of noise. I'm reaching out to some LGBTQ affinity groups and trying to see what has been done in other areas to fight back against these things. I am trying to pull in any resource that I can think of to have a basis for this to be reversed. But once it's so much harder once it's already been approved.
Yeah.
And we still have to go through the policy development. So we can still make comments, but if they're not heard, that's not going to give a lot of reaction or a lot of action.
Yeah. Well, as this story develops, we will definitely have you back. But Sarah Harrison, thank you so much for joining us. This conversation is important, and we will continue to talk about it. But thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, it'll still be As Goes Wisconsin.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. Are you ready to start a meaningful career? Now you can get paid while you receive free certified nurse aide training. WISCaregiver.com will connect you with employers all across Wisconsin. You choose the location where you'll earn while you learn to become a CNA and receive a $500 bonus. Get paid while you receive free certified nurse aide training through WISCaregiver.com. Get your free start in healthcare. Register today at WISCaregiver.com.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elk Scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks Scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love getting hearing from you. This was a topic that was brought to us that we spent the better part of an hour talking about, and it's not something that I probably would have known about until Journal Sentinel and the other news outlets talked about it.
Right.
So this is a perfect example of what's happening in the Waukesha School District, of a great topic that we would always love to be able to talk about and bring people on, and we would love to hear from you. So if you have an idea for a topic or a guest, you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And some of the other stories I had planned, I'm going to bump to tomorrow.
That's fine.
I went back and around this time, it was April-ish. So I think it was early April in the lead up to last year's nonpartisan spring elections. And school boards, I think some of the people who were on the school board were elected in last year as
right.
far as this the Waukesha School Board.
Right.
And last year, there was a lot, you know, it was the Mequon-Thienesville recall. It was a lot of activist, conservative, recruited people running for school boards. And so one of the videos I made for Journal Sentinel, or one of the stories, it was kind of like, I wanted to look into the history of this. And, you know, there are school historians who made it very easy to research this because they've already looked into this. But, you know, last year and even in 2021, 2022, Wisconsin alone had school members resign because of dysfunction and violent threats. Like I said, the attempted recall in Mequon-Thienesville, it didn't actually end up going through.
And keep in mind that some of these people don't even have kids in these school districts. Some of the people who are doing this agitating and driving for these changes don't have children in those school yeah. districts, may not even be from Wisconsin.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also just more and more money getting into these school board races. And so, you know, I think originally this started with school closures and virtual learning and masks, and now it's I feel like CRT is less of a buzzword than it was. Now it feels much more centered on LGBTQIA plus issues. But it's interesting because it's not new to time is a flat circle, as Matthew McConaughey says. So almost a century ago, let's think about this. We had the Scopes monkey trial and the fight over teaching evolution, which obviously then became a play and everything. But like that was at school board levels. That was what you were allowed to teach. You could not teach evolution. You had to teach creationism. And that was heated, to
yes.
say the least.
Yes, it was. It got hot.
And what was the play that they made out of that? Now that I can't think of it. Someone's going to correct me.
It's not 12 Angry Men. That's
no,
a different,
no,
that's
no,
a different
that's,
thing.
That's juries.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also a great play. Though it does feel like something that Gregory Peck would have starred in the movie version.
Doesn't it, though? He would be Clarence Darrow, of course. Yeah.
And so, but that was, you know, that was a century ago. In the 60s, the John Birch Society would storm school board meetings and demand members answer, are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
And if you don't know much about the John Birch Society, do a little reading up on it. It's fascinating.
It's entirely linked to McCarthyism and yes. the communist and a conservative movement. But then this is what's really fascinating. If you forget this. So in 1974, there was a violent boycott over a West Virginia school board decision to include multicultural textbooks. This whole CRT thing is not new. And it ended with, like, there were plots to bomb school buses.
Oh, my goodness.
And then even in 1993, this was a headline from the LA Times. School boards become the religious right's new pulpit. Education, alliances of conservative Christian parents, political groups take control of panels, spark battles. And that was 30 years ago. And so this cycle of attacking or targeting school boards for a certain ideology, you know, like some of the things that I learned as far as historians kind of explaining why this happens is these are meetings that are easily accessible.
Sure.
You know, not everyone can get to Madison. Not everyone can get to D.C.
Right.
And it feels, and these are people who live in your community and maybe don't feel as unapproachable or separate as your state representatives or the governor or your congressman. But it's like,
and they're less protected as well.
Oh, absolutely. And so they're in, and these meetings happen right down the street. And on top of it, it's, you're talking about kids and people, like whenever kids are in, I mean, like, I think the word I used yesterday is like as props of if you appeal to their fears about their kids, people are going to react. And like, I'm not going to say that's not a natural reaction. I don't have kids yet, but I can imagine how protective
sure,
I'm going to be.
Absolutely.
But what are they afraid of? And I think it comes back to saying, like, are they afraid of that they can't control how their kids are going to see the world?
Again, because they want mini-me's. They want children who will go forth with the same worldview that they have and perpetuate that. Because they're right.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed because I don't have kids. And I'm always amazed, though, by parents who are surprised that their children are independent thinkers. It's like, did you really think that they were going to just be exactly like you? You're cuckoo.
I did have a friend once, and I love this friend dearly, and it almost surprised me that she said this so boldly. And I think it had to do with because the first kid was a boy and popped out looking exactly like his dad.
Okay.
And is very much a mini. So far, he's five.
Well, we got a ways to go.
Yes. But like, you know, and their attempt to get pregnant with a second one, she so badly wanted a girl. And she literally used those words. She's like, I just want a mini me. And I was like, and I don't think she meant it in the way like I want her to look in. Like, I think she definitely wanted her to look like her. But I don't, you know, now she's two. So, but I remember seeing that. I was like, I'm not going to say her name, but I was like,
you're setting
her Betsy. I was like, Betsy, like, that's like such a weird It's a weird thing to say.
And you're you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
Like Sarah said.
Especially because she got a girl, doesn't necessarily look like her.
Well, and like Sarah said, don't you want them to be the best human being they can be? Shouldn't that be the goal? Instead of being a better version of you?
Isn't the goal to eventually have them grow up and have them teach you something?
Yes. And go away. Be an adult.
Yeah.
Get out of my house.
All right. Well, when we come back, on to more fun topics. Dr. Mike is here for Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life and Your Lineup. We're going to go through some more of those small things you can do to improve your life slightly without very much effort. But if you have questions for the doctor, you can call in. All right. This is Ask Goes Wisconsin. Be right back.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year,
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.